Did everybody meet somebody? Who did not meet anybody new? Okay, very good, Easter service, begin to be thinking and praying about who you're going to bring on Easter. Because you have your Christa friends, your Christmas and Easter church people. You want to start inviting them now and praying for them now that they come, okay? And we have seven services. You know what they are, so do your thing. Any visitors from out of town, out of San Diego, outside of San Diego? Yes, where are you from?
Seattle.
Very good. Very good. And who are you here with?
Brian.
Oh, cousin. Very good. Your first time?
Yep.
Very good. He's got your front row seat.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Spitting.
Oh, you're going to spit on me? Oh, me spit on you. No, I'm not going to spit on you. I kind of stand back a little bit. See that black line? That's a spray zone right there. Right there. If you're outside that line, you're good. You're good. Who else? Yes. I don't think Tucson, Arizona is a Tucson worthy. He's out here, Tucson. Welcome. Is it hot in Tucson? Huh?
What's that?
Is it hot in Tucson?
Yes.
I mean, it's getting hot right now, springtime?
It's about 90.
90 now? Wow. It's too bad. You live there? I mean, are you visiting, right? Very good, very good. Anybody else? On this side. Yes, where are you from? Las Cruces, New Mexico. Welcome, 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 brother. Yes.
Tucson, Arizona.
Y'all know each other? Can't keep us down. Yes, the in the blue. Huh? Oh, Brewster. How old are you? 11, very good, very good. Yes, sir.
Detroit.
Manteca? Manteca. Where's that? Huh? Oh, California. There's a Manteca in California. I thought it was like, you know, some country. I've never been there. Never. That's my bad. I'm just not geographically inclined there. Yes.
Seattle.
You have Seattle people? Yes, in the back. Yes.
Illinois.
Very good. Yes.
Louisiana.
I just had, where in Louisiana? Where? Okay, yeah, I just talked to some people. You know where Monroe, Louisiana is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. Yes, sir.
Portland, Oregon.
Yes. Where? Oh, North Dakota. What's the temperature? 40? Mm-hmm. I'm moving away from you.
New York.
Where? Newburgh. Yeah, I'm from Long Island. Strong Island. Yes. How you doing, Mom? And where in Florida are you from? Lardy. Near Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville? Yes.
Alabama.
Where in Alabama? Monroe? Monroe, Alabama? Are you visiting? Oh, Monroeville. I'm sorry. Monroeville. Do you talk like that? You do? Oh, well, it's very welcome that you have. You're here in San Diego. What are you doing here in San Diego? Visiting. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Huh?
Alaska.
Where in Alaska are you from? Kodiak Island. What's, what do you do up there? Not much of anything. Yes, sir.
Near Seattle.
Very good. Yes.
Berkeley.
How you doing? Woo, 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 woo. Yes.
Switzerland.
And what language do you speak? Huh? German? German. How do you say hello in German? What do you say? Hello? That's German? Gotcha. I can do that. I can do that. Yes, behind you. Manhattan. Where in Manhattan are you from? Very good. Did you just move there? Okay. She's embarrassed because of you. How you doing, Manhattan? My daughter lives in Manhattan. Where in Manhattan do you live? Upper West Side. Like what street? 105th. Okay. Yes. Brazil. Now, Brazil, oi? Oi? That's hello? Everyone say oi?
Oi.
Oi, oi, oi. Yes, way in the back. Way in the back. Georgia. Very good. Very good. Okay. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bible say word. One more time. Take a deep breath in. Say word. Let's see your pens.
Lesson plan.
Okay. Turn to First Kings, and then we're going to pray. First Kings 19. First Kings 19, then we're going to pray. First Kings 19. Okay, let's all bow our heads. Close your eyes. And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want you to take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, drop your shoulders and sink down into your seat. Just relax. Do that one more time. This is just relaxing, nothing spiritual yet. I want you to repeat after me very softly. Say, "Dear Holy Spirit, how are you tonight? I want you to teach me tonight how to hear your voice. I want to follow you. I want you to lead me and bless me and teach me how to be a better Christian. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen." My wife and I have three children, and our first daughter was born 24 years in November. And how many of you all have a baby, have had a child? You're a parent? Very good. How many of you are not? Man, hating on life. Well, let me explain something to y'all who do not have children. When you have a children, you will, for the first time in your life, experience a level of love you've never experienced for anything in your life. And you will love a person that has never done anything for you and that can't do anything except sleep and go to the bathroom. But you will love them with all your heart. And one of the things I wanted for my daughter was I wanted to hear her talk. For all my kids, I wanted to hear their voice the first time. And I remember one time my wife said, "My daughter has spoken." I said, what did she say? But also, what did it sound like? And what's important for us to know is, what does God sound like? When he talks to you every day, what does he sound like? Because if you don't know what he sounds like, he's talking to you, not listening to him. But if you know what he sounds like, you'll be more inclined to obey him. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, in week 3 of a series called The Invisible Man, everyone say, Invisible Man. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we said that the invisible man was all God, and the invisible man, the Holy Spirit, is just as much God as the Father. He's just as much God as Jesus. He's all God. He's all-knowing, omniscient. He's all-present. He's omnipresent. And he's all-potent. He's omnipotent or omnipotent. He's God. The Father is God. Jesus is God. And the Holy Spirit's God. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. There's a CD in a bookstore. You can buy the CDs of all these sermons right after you walk out of here, every week if you want. Last week, we saw that the Holy Spirit is a person. We saw that Jesus referred to him as a he, not an it. He refers to himself as I. We saw that the Holy Spirit loves you. He can be grieved or disappointed by you. We saw that the Holy Spirit has a mind. He has a will. He wants to do something. He has plans. He knows the plans that God has for you. And he's always, and he'll speak to you. We also saw that the Holy Spirit lives in you. So here you have this God, spirit form, a he, lives in you. And we talked about a person is not a physical human necessarily. It's someone who has a personality. And so the Holy Spirit lives in you and will speak to you and has a will for your life, a plan, and he has a mind. He thinks. You don't have to have a brain to have a mind. We have to have a brain as humans. But our brain is modeled to do the things that God's mind does, but it doesn't have to be. It's not physical. His isn't physical. And so he has a mind. He has thoughts. He has plans. He has ideas about you. Okay, so we saw that the Holy Spirit's a person and he lives in you. Today we're going to see that the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit sound like when he speaks to you? Now before I go any further, I want to introduce Shalisha. I forgot to introduce you, Shalisha. Everyone say Shalisha. Don't whistle at Shalisha. She's not here to be whistled at, so she's here to be, thank you very much. And she is here to paint, and she is going to, through her artistic expression, interpret this message, and so you can check it out. If it distracts you, don't check it out. But she's been here all day long, just kind of painting, okay? And so, hopefully, it blesses you. It's another form of worship. So today, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit speaking. What does the Holy Spirit sound like? Now, in this story, Elijah is—he had just finished fighting 450 prophets. Prophets are false. These guys were representative of Jezebel, and they were worshiping a false god. And there was 450 of them, and they had a big church service. They had a big altar and some animals on the altar, and they were going to prove whose god was the right god. And so they were going to both pray to their god one at a time, and whoever's god sent fire out of heaven, that would be the right god. So you have friends who believe in other gods, and one god's true and one god's not. And so the 450 prophets prayed. Nothing happened. They prayed. They started hitting themselves all day long, bleeding, and their God didn't do anything. And then Elijah prayed 64 words, and fire came out of heaven and burnt everything up, killed the prophets, and he was victorious over 450 prophets. And then one woman named Jezebel. Everyone say Jezebel. He kills 450 prophets, false prophets. He has this big victory, and then one woman threatens him, and he runs from one woman. That's how powerful women are. I just want to throw that in there. Okay. He's running from the woman, and he's all alone. He wants to kill himself. He gets lonely. He gets so discouraged, he wants to kill himself. He asks God, I want to die. And he prays to God. Look what it says in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, verse 10. He says to God, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. He's telling God this. I did all this stuff for you, and now they're after me. Verse 11, God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind, everyone say wind, tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake. Say earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. Say fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Earth, wind, and fire. The Lord was not in any of that. And then it says, and after a small, still voice spoke. Everyone say, small, still voice. God is going to talk to you like this, and that is it. He is not going to yell at you. He's not going to raise his voice. He's going to talk to you in a small, still voice. And every day, this is my guess, I don't have to say, he's going to whisper something to you, and the question for you is, are you going to listen, and are you going to obey? He is not going to outshout your radio, your stereo, your TV, all your friends. He's going to just whisper to you in a very small, still voice, and if you don't listen, you'll miss it. Too blocked, too bad. He's just going to talk to you just like this. It's going to sound like your conscience. It's going to sound like your voice, and he's just going to talk to you just like this. And he's going to tell you profound things like, I want you, instead of taking this as a major, take this as a major. I want you to break up with that person. I want you to get rid of that person's phone numbers. I want you to change your life. And he'll just say something very simple like that. For me, I was moving back to New York 20-something years ago. My whole family, we had where I'm from. We had a deposit on an apartment. We had our truck to move our stuff ready. And God simply said, there's one thing. You can stay in San Diego. That was it. I was like, what? He said, you can stay in San Diego. Just like that. And I said to my wife, I think we're supposed to stay. We got in a car and drove all the way around San Diego, down the 5, all across the 94, all around, and just 2 days in a row, just praying, God, you want us to stay here? And he just said, you can stay in San Diego. He said it like once or twice. That was it. He said, I'm not going to tell you anymore. You trust me. So God is going to talk to you just like that, and you hear it all the time. And you have to learn to listen. You have to learn to have quiet time. How many of you, when you go to bed at night or when you, wake up early in the morning, your alarm is set to go off at, say, 7 o'clock, and you wake up at 6:30, and you're laying there wide awake, it's pitch black outside, and this little voice says to you, why don't you get up and pray? Anybody? Mm-hmm. You know who that is? It ain't me. It ain't you. It's God. That's how it sounds. Period. Now, do y'all ever go take a physical and they put those headphones on you and you have to tell which, raise your hand on which side you hear the sound? Yes? And you put the headphones on and you're sitting there and you're trying not to breathe because you don't want your breath to mess up the sound. And you're holding your breath the whole time and you hear, boop. And then you'll be there and it'll be like, and then you don't hear something for a long time and you think you missed it, so you go. But what you do when they put that thing on, you're sitting there and you're listening, and you're paying attention, and you're so quiet. That's how God wants you to be. So I want you to slow your life down. The devil wants you to go. You're on the phone, you're emailing, you're texting, you're this, you're that, because you won't hear God. And you'll run yourself ragged all day long, talking to this person on this cell phone, talking out the window, texting, emailing, constantly, Facebook, MySpace, all day long. And you're in bed at night under the pillow. There's a little light. This is my wife. My wife's under the pillow. I can see the light under the covers. She's... And I'm like, who are you texting? Oh, I got to see where the kids are at. I said, leave them kids alone. Cut the umbilical cord. Let them go. And what happens is you go all day. You get up and you go all day. And God is like all day long going, hey, what about me? What about me? And you never hear him. And he's not going to yell. You lose out. He loses out. He ain't going to yell at you. I spoke at this up... Republican National Convention last year, and I had a 500-word speech, and they gave you 5 minutes for 500 words. I could say 500 words in 90 seconds. So I said to the lady, look, I can do this for 90 seconds. Why give me more words. They said, no, only 500 words. It's going to take you 5 minutes to say 500 words. I said, it's not going to take me 500 words. It's okay, you have to come to practice. So I went to practice in this little room about the size of a little kitchen, and in the room was a podium, a teleprompter, the coach, the speech coach sitting here, the teleprompter operator, so my speech would come up on the teleprompter, and a room manager, three people, for 500 words. I'm like, come on, I do this all the time. They say, okay, they put it in. Go ahead. Let's see what you got. So I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. And I started speaking, blah, 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 blah. And she said, stop. She said, slow down. It's like, slow down. All right, start over. Blah, 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 blah. She said, stop. You need to slow down. I said, all right. 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 times. She stood up, came up to the podium, grabbed my hand, and put it in the podium. She looked me in the eye like this. She says, you need to slow down. I said, girlfriend, I got the roll. I got passion. I got a rhythm. I got a flow. You know, I can't just be talking slow. She says, no, we don't roll like that at the Republican National Convention. Republicans don't roll, okay? You need to slow down. Here's what she said. You come out there, and there's all those people out there talking. There's going to be a lot of moving around. If you talk slow, they will listen. The Holy Spirit is not going to talk any loud for you. If you don't listen, you won't get it. I was in a fighter jet simulator, and it was in a room where the ceiling was a dome like the sky, and it had video so you could see where you're flying and all stuff. And this is not a toy. This was a real, where the Navy jet pilots practice. And so I'm in there, and we're doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden I did something wrong, and this voice came on. Warning, warning, engine fire. It was a woman. It's a woman's voice. And I was like, who's that girl? They said, oh, it's a woman's voice, because they know that no matter what a man's doing, when a woman speaks, all the ladies in the house say, hey. It's like, what? You want to have such a life that when God, no matter what's going on in your life, when God says to you, hey, I want to tell you something, you stop. I used to work in construction. Well, I was an engineering student, and I worked at a construction site in Brooklyn when I was living in New York, and I was working in Manhattan, 34th Street, and I worked, this construction site was in Brooklyn under the Williamsburg Bridge, you know what it is, but under the Williamsburg Bridge, and this neighborhood was Puerto Ricans and Hasidic Jews. I know, it's two opposite ends of the world. And this little girl named Jackie, she's a little Puerto Rican girl, about 5 years old. I was in love with this girl. I was 19. She was like, I was gonna marry her. She was this little cute girl, and she had me wrapped around her finger. And so we talked all the time, and you know, we just hung out, because I really didn't do anything on my job. And it's a big construction site. Kids everywhere, cars beeping, trains going by, all this construction noise. And she could be all the way down the street. And she's only this big. She was 5. And she called me LL. That was my nickname. I don't know what it meant. Still don't know why she gave that name to me. That was her name for me, LL. And she'd be down the street, all this noise, and she would say, LL. That was it. LL. And no matter what I was doing, it was like, whoop. She had it. She had my ear. God is going to talk to you like that. He's not going to yell at you. He's not going to scream at you. He's going to talk to you like that. You need to learn to hear a small, still voice. Number two, the invisible man sounds like a groan in your heart. A groan. A groan. Turn to Romans chapter 8, the 6th book in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, help someone near you. A groan. Everyone say groan. Say, Chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, say himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me read that again. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. When you pray, and you're in communication with God, you don't know what you should pray for, and you don't know how you should pray for it. For example, how many of you know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? None of you. The Spirit does. The Spirit knows everyone you're going to talk to. He knows anything that's going to happen to you, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. He knows where you're going to end up every second of all day tomorrow and the rest of your life. So you don't know what you should pray for. In other words, you don't know if you're going to get in an accident tomorrow and need God's help. You don't know that. The Spirit does. So therefore, you won't pray because you don't know. And you also don't know how to pray. Do I need to be patient? Am I going to need to be bold? Am I going to need to be quiet? Am I going to need to yell? What am I going to have to do? You don't know that. So when you get on your knees and pray, you are praying out of ignorance to a lot of things. The Spirit of God knows all of that. So when you pray, the Bible says this is a great thing. Remember, the Holy Spirit's a man living, he living in you. He is praying to God on your behalf based on what he knows. Think about that. That you get on your knees saying, "Dear God, tomorrow I just want to go to school and do good on my test." And the Holy Spirit says, "Your test is going to be canceled." You're welcome. You're welcome. I may not be talking about your test, though. Your teacher's going to be out. And what's going to happen? This is going to happen instead. Or there's going to be some kind of crisis or whatever it is. You need to be asking this. But he might not tell you that. But what he will do is pray to the Father on your behalf. He does that all the time. That is a friend. And a lot of times you're getting benefits of his prayers. You didn't even ask for it. He's praying for you. But what he's praying for you with are groanings which you cannot express. Sometimes you get on your knees and you'll just go, "Dear God, I just, and you can't get it out." He's doing it. He's doing it. And sometimes how many of y'all have ever met somebody and you're talking to them and there's a proposal, opportunity to get into a relationship with them, whether it be dating or business or sports or whatever. And you're just feeling like, "I need to stay away from this person." Anybody? Okay? And it's just something ain't right. You're not comfortable. You don't want to hang out with them. Or you're going to go to, In-N-Out with a group, and you're like, "I don't know about that person." And so you just kind of, or you meet somebody and you feel drawn to that person. You just know. Holy Spirit does that kind of stuff. He'll warn you. He'll communicate to you. There's a friend of mine that I met a month ago. I think I might have told you this. He came here for a conference. He plays in the NFL. He lives in Houston. He plays in Green Bay. And he came to San Diego 5 weeks ago for a conference, came to church, and between that meeting, he says, "I want to move here and go to church here." So he was here this weekend. He's selling his house in Houston. He's going to move here and to put his kids in a school, just like that. So I said to him, "How do you know God's telling you this? I'm curious." And he went like this. I said, that's it. That's God. I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to do it. I just know I'm supposed to do it. And so one of the ways the Holy Spirit's going to communicate to you is with a groan. One of the best prayers you can ever pray, knowing that the Holy Spirit is groaning on your behalf all the time, is that you can get on your knees or wherever and say, "God, I have this opportunity with this person, with this team, or with this school, with this job, whatever it is, and I don't know what I should ask for, but I just want your will to be done in my life. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if it's the right thing for me, but I want what you want for me. So Holy Spirit, please intercede on my behalf based on what you know, and I will receive whatever God wants, not my will, your will be done." Best prayer you could ever pray. Because if you go to God and say, "God, here's what I want, here's what I want," God's looking at you going, "You don't even know these people. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen next year. I do. So why don't you put yourself in a place to benefit from what I know?" Because the Holy Spirit is praying on your behalf all day long. And you're sitting there asking, "Lord, I want to go out with this girl. And you don't know that girl, she got issues. Or you're going out with this guy, and he's got abs and teeth. And you're like, "Wow, he's got all his teeth, and he's got abs. Oh, my gosh." He's so fun. That's it. He just got abs and teeth. He got no brain. He got like two wires in his head. That's it. No brain. He says the same thing all the time. Hey, what's up? That's all he knows. And you think he's like your husband. And you could, dear God, please, I want this guy. And the Lord's saying, do you know that guy? You need to say, Lord, I think I'm attracted to this guy or this girl, but I don't know them. I don't. If you don't want me with them, make it clear to me. Oh, you will know. Ask God. So groanings, he's going to speak to you in a small, still voice. He's going to speak to you with a groan, with a, just you're just going to sense. You can't even say it's a feeling, but you sense that he's directing you some way. That's how God speaks. Number three, the invisible man sounds like a child crying daddy to God. The devil is trying real hard to poison the term daddy. In many ways, it is a God term. God wants to be your daddy in the sense that the Bible says. Turn to, you're in Romans, three books towards the back is Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. We play hide and seek in our house when our kids were little, and hide and seek in our house was turn all the lights off in the house. You go hide, and then the person looking for you's job is to find you with the flashlight. Your job, if you're hiding, is not to get to base before they tag you. Your job is to scare them as bad as you can. And so we would play this when my kids were little, like 4, 5, 3, you know, whatever. And I would tell my kids, I'm going to scare you. I'm going to make you cry. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm going to make you cry. So I would go hide. And my daughter's like 4. She's got the flashlight. Dad. The house is pitch black. Dad. Daddy. That, when you say daddy, in a biblical sense, you are crying out to God as your savior, as your papa, as the person who's going to protect you and provide for you. The Holy Spirit cries out, daddy. God is not and never will be your equal, your peer. He's not your servant. He's God. But the Holy Spirit wants to remind you that he's your daddy. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. If you go to Israel, you'll hear little kids run around, Abba, 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 running up to their daddy. Abba means daddy. And when you pray to God, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you scared of God. He doesn't want you intimidated, oh, I can't say anything. He wants you to see him as your daddy, that you can go to him for anything, and that he loves you, and he wants to bless you. He wants to play with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to share everything with you that he has, and he wants you to share everything with him. My kids will jump on my lap when they're little and tell me everything. Dad, and they would show me the stuff that has absolutely no meaning. But to them, it was everything. So to me, it was everything. Look at this little bug. My oldest daughter, she was like this little, you know, mama of everything. A little aunt would be dying and be on his back like this, you know, because his hibernation state is over. And she would want me to give it mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And I was like, well, you know, maybe the little aunt's family is in aunt heaven and he just needs to go. And so let's help him. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. That's why she's in a mental hospital today. No, I'm only kidding. That didn't happen. I wasn't that evil. But you're going to hear a small, still voice in your head. You're going to hear groaning, and it's going to be from the position that God is your daddy. It's going to be encouraging you. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage you. Trust God. Go to God with everything. Tell him all your problems. Tell him all your sin. Ask him. He loves you. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to intimidate you. He's not going to try to scare you, manipulate you. Please, just trust him. Give him a chance. Give him the same chance you give of drugs and sex and all that stuff that you worship as your God that's going to save you. Give God that chance. He's your daddy. Look at number four. The invisible man sounds like biblical truth. This is what distinguishes between your voice or the devil's voice and God's voice. We all hear voices. Can I get an amen? Some people call it self-talk. You talk to yourself all the time, and sometimes you initiate the self-talk, and sometimes it just happens. It'll just happen. You'll hear a voice tell you something, to do something, say something, and you go, where'd that come from? Like when you wake up in the morning and this voice says, pray, and you're like, pray, please. It ain't Sunday and I ain't in church. You want me to get out of my bed and pray, please. That's God. That is G-O-D. That's how it works. And so one way you can distinguish the voices, whether they're God or not, is one very simple thing. Does it agree with the Bible? If it doesn't agree with the Bible, it's not God. If it doesn't agree with the Bible, it's not God. We all have friends who have different beliefs, and they go, well, I believe this, and you believe that, I believe this. That's fine. Believe what, and we all have a right to believe what we want to believe. It doesn't mean what we believe in is true. I can go on top of this building. This building's 45 feet high. I can go on top of this building, and by the way, I can go on top of this building, go to the edge of the roof, and jump off. And I can say 100%, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Think about it every night and day. I can really sing, but my voice is tired from all day, you know what I'm saying? I can believe that with all my heart. Do I have a right to believe that? I have a right to believe that. It's a free country. But let's say I really did believe that with all my heart. What's going to happen when I jump off? My belief in it doesn't mean anything if it's not true. You have friends that believe in stuff that's just not true. They can be as sincere as they want to be. But if it's wrong, they're going to suffer. The Holy Spirit came to affirm truth from one specific God. He's God. He didn't come to affirm everything. He came to affirm truth, biblical truth. And so when you hear this voice, you have to say, does this voice agree with the Bible or does it not? Now, if it doesn't agree with the Bible, yeah, it could be another spirit, but there's other spirits that tell people to jump off buildings and they die. All different kind of lifestyles that people die from. He tells them jump off buildings. Sexual stuff, drugs, gangs, etc. Jump off the building, jump off the building. And where do those people end up? Dead, addicted, ruined. Because that voice was wrong. So look what it says in chapter, turn to John. You're in Galatians, turn back to John about, let me see, five or six books before where you're at. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This voice, this small, still voice, this groaning will always agree with the Bible if it's the Holy Spirit. It will always agree with the Bible if it's the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that was the Holy Spirit's purpose. Look what it says in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, if someone ever told you there's no Trinity, it's right there. Look, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that's one. The Father, and Jesus speaking about, and he says, my name. All three are right there in that verse, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let's read again, verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, other names are the Spirit of the Son. We just read that before in the Galatians. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of truth. It's all same Spirit. Okay? So it says, verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is Jesus speaking, he, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Your teacher is the Holy Spirit. Your teacher is the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to teach you. Holy Spirit, teach me what this, as I'm reading the Bible, teach me what it means. Holy Spirit, as I'm dealing with this confrontation right now, teach me what to say. Holy Spirit, as this person is talking about the Bible, teach me if it's true. Teach me what this means. As I'm listening in church, teach me. Open up my understanding that I may understand and receive truth. And what he's going to do, Holy Spirit, remember, it's a person. He lives in you. He's God. He's all-knowing. One of his jobs is to remind you of what Jesus said. The Father establishes the plan of salvation. Jesus came and executed the contract. He died on the cross. And when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he says, now I pay for your sin. Jesus says, I'm going to go to heaven, ascend to heaven, and I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit of truth. That's exactly what he's saying here. I'm going to send to you, and everything I said and everything I represented, he is going to remind you. That's his job. Holy Spirit comes, and his whole purpose is to facilitate and execute the plan of salvation in our life. And one of the ways he does that is to remind us of what Jesus said. That's what he came for. So you're going, what did Jesus say? Holy Spirit's there for you. Now, you need to read the Bible, get the word in your head. But when you wake up in the morning or you go to bed, sometimes when you go to bed at night, you ever notice that when you lay down and you're going to sleep, all of a sudden all these ideas start coming in your head? And you start thinking about your day and God finally has a chance to talk to you again. He starts talking to you. And my encouragement to you is to get a piece of paper and pen every night and lay right next to your bed, every day for the rest of your life. Piece of paper and pen, and when you lay down and you're going to sleep, God says, hey, tomorrow you need to call so-and-so. Click the light on and write it down. Pretty much every night, my light's going on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, and my wife's just used to it now. He's going to speak to you. And he's going to remind you of things. And when you're in a discussion or argument, he's going to remind you what the Bible says. When you're in a disagreement, he's going to say, hey, you remember I told you this in church? And he may remind you of something he told you, not me. But he's telling you, he's talking to you right now. He's telling you stuff about your life. He may remind you. That's his job. Look also what it says in chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26. Not only will he remind you what Jesus said, it says, when the helper comes, chapter 15, verse 26, when the helper comes, is Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit still, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Listen to what Jesus is saying. I am going to send you the Spirit from the Father. This is not some, it just came from nowhere. I am sending to him for a purpose. And it says, I will send you from the Father the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of what?
Truth.
Everyone say truth. Not a lie. He cannot and will not lie. He cannot and will not lie. Anything or anybody that disagrees with the Spirit, that's the liar. The Spirit can't lie. He's the Spirit of truth. If he's not the Spirit of truth, then God is a liar and this is all fake. He's the Spirit of truth. Jesus is saying, I am going to send to you the Spirit of truth. He will not lie to you. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to remind you of me and what I said. And look what else it says. It says, verse 26, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. Second time it says, it's coming from the Father. It's coming from the Father. He will testify of me. I mean, how much stronger do you get? Jesus is saying, the Spirit from the Father. It's not something I got in my closet I'm just sending to you. This is a Spirit from the Father, and he is the Spirit of truth, and he will tell you all about me. He will affirm to you everything I said. Jesus says, I am the Father and one. He'll affirm to you that that's true. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. The Holy Spirit will affirm in your heart that that's true. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, me, that whoever believed in me will not perish but have eternal life. The Holy Spirit will affirm in your heart that that's true. And so when you talk to people and they start saying, well, Jesus really didn't mean that. He's not really God. They're lying. They may not think they're lying, they may not know they're lying, but what they're saying is not true because it disagrees with the Bible. So you're going to say, what about all those other religions? All I can tell you is that the Spirit of truth came to affirm this. The Spirit of truth did not come to set up all these religions that have all these different definitions of who Jesus is. He's not. Well, Miles is the pastor of the Rock, but really he's not the pastor of the Rock. He's also the rabbi over here, and he's also this. No, he's the pastor of the Rock. That's it. I'm not all those other things. God knows very clearly who he is and who he's not. So when people start telling you, well, Jesus is really this too, and he's not this, and there's all these conflicting, he's David, the devil's brother, he's just a prophet, he's this, all that is conflicting with who he said. It's all conflicting with who the Holy Spirit would say he is. He can't be both. So when you hear these voices, you have to say, Holy Spirit, tell me, is this you? And the Holy Spirit will say to you, read the Bible. Just read the Bible. Because I've come to affirm the Bible. I've come to talk about Jesus. So when you hear these voices, whether they're in your head, whether they're your friends, now, what do you do about all your friends who believe different things? Pray for them. Pray for them. Could all those people be wrong? The Bible says that the road to heaven is very narrow and very few go that way. And the road to hell is very wide. Many go that way because the devil has given many options. Many options. Look at all your friends. Look at all your friends' families. Look at how many families and how many people's lives are messed up. Let's count the ways. Drugs, finances, relationships, all the different sexual ways you can have problems. I mean, it's countless. Whether it be molestation, whether it be disease, whether it be pornography, you go on and on and on, on. All the ways the devil can mess your life up. Jesus says, I just want you to trust me. You're a sinner. Your sin will kill you and send you to hell. That's why I came and died on the cross. And I rose from the dead. I proved to you that I'm really God. Death can't hold me down. And if death can't hold me down, it won't hold you down if you trust me. And so I'm going to go now. I'm going to ascend to heaven in daytime. Y'all are going to see me. And when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit's job is going to do, he's going to tell you everything. He's going to remind you all the stuff we talked about. Don't worry about it. You won't forget it. And he's going to talk about me. He's going to tell you I was really who I was. And he's going to be with you, live inside you. We saw that last week. And then he will bring you to me if you trust me. That's how it's going to work. So I'm leaving now. And I'm not only leaving you a book, and I'm not only leaving you people whose word you have to trust. I'm going to send the Spirit of truth to live in you. That's a good deal. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And he is going to tell you over and over again that this is the truth. He is not coming to confuse you with all these different conflicting philosophies. He's only going to talk to you about one, me. That's what Jesus said. So he's going to remind you of what Jesus said. He's going to remind you who Jesus is. And then chapter 16, verse 13. Look at verse 13. Lastly, the Holy Spirit. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into truth. Say, into truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. The Holy Spirit is not ever going to tell you, oh, I have a new idea. If you ever hear anybody talk about, well, I know the Bible is this, but we have a new idea, that is not God. That's not this God. Holy Spirit says, I'm not coming on my own authority. I have been sent by the Father to testify about the Son. That's all I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else. So if you hear some other philosophy or some new, and by the way, when you hear these new philosophies, it's always resulting of one guy being somewhere where he heard God. It's always one guy because no one's there to check it. It's always one guy. He's somewhere by himself and God told me. This book is over 50 people, over 1,600 years, wrote about hundreds of topics in three different continents. And they cross-check, cross-check, cross-check. So the Holy Spirit says, I'm never going to do that, so don't worry about it. I've only come to testify about Jesus and nothing else. That's it. And I'm never going to make my own stuff up. But look what he says. I am going to, in verse 3, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, will guide you into truth. Say into. Now here's what that means. If you ever have an opportunity to lead anybody, whether it be a team, you're coaching a team, you're a teacher, you're a boss, whatever, and when all y'all who are hooting and hollering at you single, when you become a parent, and you have the awesome responsibility of being a parent, and the hardest job on the planet is to be a parent, especially being a mom. And you have to discipline somebody. One of the best ways to do that is to lead them into the truth. For example, you catch somebody in a lie. At least you think you caught them in a lie. Instead of saying, I caught you in a lie, here's your punishment, what you should do is say, let's sit down and talk. Something happened yesterday. Can you tell me what happened with you and so-and-so? And they're going to start going on. Their minds are going to start going. And you want to ask them, well, so-and-so said this happened. What do you think happened? And let them start to explain to you what they think happened. Well, do you think that what you said was wrong? Well, do you think that what you said was right, and why? Do you think that this situation is really in agreement with who we're supposed to be as a family or a team or whatever? And you lead the person into discovery of whether they what they did was wrong or right. And once they admit that they did something wrong, well, maybe, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have hit her in the face. Or maybe I shouldn't have said blankety blank about her. Well, do you think that would have hurt her feelings? Well, yeah. Well, what do you think we should do? Well, maybe I need to go say I'm sorry. You never accuse them of a thing. You led them into the truth. Holy Spirit does that with you. He's going to show you, see that person over there? Do you know who they hang out with? Oh, no, they're really nice. Do you know who their friends are? Let me show you what they did to the last boyfriend or girlfriend. Let me show you who they hang out with. Let me show you who they lied to before. And he will lead you into the truth so you can discover it on your, discover it and know it's true versus just telling you don't do that. He wants to guide you into truth. He wants you to read the Bible and understand it and look at how it works in that person's life. Look at how it works in that person's life. Go to church and hear the same message. Hear the message on the radio and go, I'm getting it, God. He wants to guide you into truth. And by the way, this is the truth he wants to guide you in because he wants to remind you what Jesus says, and he wants to explain to you what Jesus says, and he wants to explain to you who Jesus is. That's all his job is. So when you hear these voices and you feel this groaning and you hear this humility of daddy, what God is trying to tell, what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, he's speaking to you. And he wants you to hear him and he wants you to listen to him. He wants you to know that when Jesus said that he died for you, he did. When Jesus said he would forgive you if you repented, he meant it. When Jesus said he loves you and that he wants to grant you eternal life, he meant it. And when Jesus says that you're a sinner and your sin will kill you, he meant it. All that stuff the Holy Spirit wants you to know is true, but he also wants you to know that your daddy loves you anyway. And your daddy wants to bless you. Even though you've had your back to him all these years, he still loves you. And so a couple things for y'all. Oh, we got number one in here. No, last one, last point. Number five, the invisible man wants you to speak like him. Not only does he... Everyone say, wow. You okay? Okay, I just want to make sure you need a tissue, you know, like a towel or anything. Okay. God bless you. And everybody around you, too. Yeah, I know. Turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark 13, when we have our Christmas service, we'll have about 40 kids stand up here, little United Nations. It is so cute, it'll make you cry. Last Christmas, we had little angels, and this little girl was like this. She was an angel. These were her wings. I think she had wings on, but she was standing like this. You just want to cry. They're so cute. And we had to move them over for a picture, and she did this. So anyway, for we'll have them, I don't know if they're going to do it Eastside. I don't know what they have planned, but they're going to, there's 40 kids, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 10 singing, and all their parents are sitting here. And while the kids are supposed to be singing, because some aren't, some are like picking a nose, looking around, looking at the other kids singing, the parents are down here going like this. They're singing the words for them, hoping that they would lip sync or read their parents' lips and go, oh, yeah, I'm reading your lips, Mom. Okay, I know the words. The Holy Spirit wants your lips to say what he would say. Everyone do this. Now, keep your lips like that. Look at the person next to you. Okay. So when you talk, there's like 11 muscles involved in your talking. When your lips move and they pucker and your muscles tighten for you to form words and sounds, I want you to imagine and ask yourself, is that the Holy Spirit speaking? Is that his mouth? Are those his words? He's not only going to speak to you, he wants you to speak for him. That's why he gave you a mouth. He didn't give you a mouth for you to speak about yourself. He gave you a mouth to speak about him. Look what it says. Verse 11. Jesus says, when they arrest you and deliver you, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. When you go to school tomorrow, how many of y'all go to school? How many of y'all need to be in school? Very good. How many of you have a job? How many of you need to have a job? Very good. How many of you are going to do nothing tomorrow but sit home and watch cartoons? Okay, very good. Very good. Very good. Watch The Roadrunner. When you talk to somebody tomorrow, my challenge to you is this, is that you would ask God, as your lips move and as voice comes out, is this what God would say? Holy Spirit, is this you speaking? Or is this me? Someone curses you out. And Holy Spirit says, Walk away. Someone lies to you and you go, Say, God bless you. God bless you. I hate you, but God bless you. Someone says you're the bomb. Don't take credit. Say, praise the Lord. That you would say what God says. Every time your lips move, is that God's lips or your lips? You feel it. Remember, you feel it. Okay? Look what it says. Verse 11, when they arrest you and deliver you, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you speak. Whatever is given to you in that hour, speak, for that is not you who speaks, but the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Here we go. There's two groups of y'all. Some of y'all in here need to say, you need to allow and listen to the Holy Spirit every day and do what he says. Elephants, one of the ways they listen is through their feet in the ground. And when they stand, they will lift one leg up and press the other foot into the ground so they can hear under the ground. They hear, they're listening more intently when they press. So they take the weight off one foot and press on the other foot. You may see elephants do that. They're listening. They're not like standing on one leg for nothing. Or three legs, I should say. This week, you need to be listening. God, I want to hear your voice. And my challenge to you, get a pen and write it down. Carry a piece of paper and a pen, a little pad with you all the time. Write it down. You will be amazed at the stuff he tells you. Hey, don't forget your math book. Oh, does God care about your math? Yeah. How many of y'all stink at math? God doesn't want you to stink at math. You don't have to get an A, but he wants you to do better than you would if you don't listen to him. So some of y'all, what I'm saying is I want you to listen to him every day, and I want you to do what he says, see what happens. Then there's some of y'all in here, he wants to tell you this. God loves you. He wants you to know that if you don't accept Christ, you will be lost because there is no other hope for you. And he wants you to know that he really loves you and he's not mad at you and he wants to forgive you today and he wants to bless you starting today with a whole new life. He wants you to know that and he wants you to be able to say with your mouth, Jesus, please forgive me. Please come live in my heart and fill me with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be able to say that and he'll help you say it. He'll help you. One of the things the Holy Spirit does, and I've had this happen several times, where I will actually open my mouth and stuff will come out. And I'm like, why am I saying this? And it's God. I was doing a crusade at the sports arena, one of our first Miles Ahead crusades. And I was doing the altar call. And while I'm doing the altar call, the Lord said, and it's all kids, the Lord said, say, if you're a prostitute, God will forgive you. And I'm preaching, right? If you're a done drug, if you're in gangs, whatever. And I said, Lord, there's no prostitutes here. I'm trying to do altar call. I got to go. And he says, say, if you're a prostitute, I will forgive you. And I'm like, God, there's no prostitute. I mean, why do you keep telling me this? He's a kid. And I was getting distracted. This really happened. Like three times. Say, if you're a prostitute. All right, I'll say it. If you're a prostitute, God will forgive you. And I felt like, man, that was so dumb. It was like, there's no prostitutes here. I'm saying this to God. That's how stupid I am. So all these people get saved. I walk up the stage, my wife's at the bottom of the steps. She goes, yo, what's up with that prostitute thing? You know. I said, I don't know, God is tripping. He wanted me to say that, so I just said it. You know, I don't know. 2 days later, I call up a friend, pastor in Oceanside. His secretary answered the phone, and she says, before I give you to Pastor So-and-so, I have to tell you a story. I brought a 16-year-old prostitute to the crusade. And the whole time we were driving, all she kept saying, well, God, forgive me. She's sitting in her seat. All she kept saying was, God will forgive me. And when you said, if you're a prostitute, God will forgive you, she was like, that's it. She came forward. Amen. And so God, amen. You will be in the oddest place, and you hear this voice say, say this. And you're like, just say it. I mean, again, it has to be biblical. If you hear a voice say, tell this person they got a big head, that's not in the Bible. You know, so here's my challenge to you. Number one is that y'all will listen to the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit. Number two is that for all y'all who have never asked Christ to be your Savior, and some of you got out of your car today. You got in your car to drive here, got out of your car walking and saying, I need God. I need God. You knew it because God's been working on you. And the whole time you're like, I need God. The Holy Spirit's whispering to you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you speak. We thank you that you love. We thank you that you think. We thank you that you live in us. We thank you that you can relate to us, that you have personality. We thank you that you know everything, that you are everywhere, and you are all-powerful. We thank you that you came from the Father to do one thing, to implement his plan, to talk about Jesus, to remind us what he said, to lead us into truth. We thank you that you are the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of a lie, not the spirit of a maybe. You are the Spirit of certainty. We thank you that you are patient. If you realize that Jesus has been patient with you and he loves you and it's time for you to give your life to him, it's time for you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, it's time for you to surrender your life to Jesus, it's time for you to receive the Holy Spirit into your heart, it's time for you to ask him to forgive you. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. By faith, believing that God loves you, that he wants to be your heavenly daddy. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe my sin is wrong. And I believe Jesus is Lord. That he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again, born of the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Fill me. Fill me. Lead me. Teach me. Be truth in my life. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging that you are giving your life to Jesus. By standing up, you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to God. So as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, eyes closed, heads bowed, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your confession to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Just stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. You've been hearing a small, still voice talk to you today. You responded to that voice. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Good. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing, and you're on every level all throughout the room. In a minute, we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. So I'm going to ask all y'all who are standing to come out of your seat and come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down. Say, Jesus!